good afternoon and welcome to Your DIY Health here on the People's Patriot Network. I'm your host, Sergeant Jim Ram, retired. You can call me Sarge. And it is Wednesday, February 13th, 2019, day before St. Valentine's Day. For all those out there that are into that kind of stuff, just one more holiday created by the greeting card and candy companies to make lots of money. And I'm usually out of town on that day. This time my wife is out of town, so we won't be worried about that. Anyway, this program is meant to present nutritional information only and is in no way meant to replace the advice of a competent medical professional, assuming you can find one. I'm not a doctor, and that's a good thing. In my opinion, the doctors most people go to see when they have a health issue, MDs, are wrapped around the axle of their training. Unfortunately, their training is in drugs and surgery, and it doesn't equip them to treat the over 900 chronic health issues that are proven to be a result of a nutritional deficiency. I'm simply someone who's been studying under the tutelage of one of, if not the top nutritional authorities in the world, Dr. Joel Wallach. Now, I don't treat diseases. I don't even treat people. I simply advise people how to give their bodies the raw materials they need to support and maintain good health, and when the body has what it needs, it'll fix itself. The body wants to fix itself. The body knows how to fix itself. It has a God-given innate ability to do so. The only thing it's missing is the raw materials. And when you put those back into the mix, stand back and wait to be amazed because your body's going to do some really cool stuff. Now you can visit my website at yourdiyhealth.com. That's yourdiyhealth.com. The DIY stands for do it yourself because doing it yourself when it comes to your health is the smartest thing you could possibly do. Anyway, yourdiyhealth.com, great site, lots of information on it. At the top of the page, you can see a brand new documentary video about the life and times of Dr. Joel Wallach called The Audacity of Health. Just click the link, put in your email address, and off you go. And it is well worth the 40 minutes. It is absolutely phenomenal. And once you have gone through that, you can rewatch the video as many times as you want from the same computer without having to do anything other than just click the button. So it's set up pretty nicely. You're not going to get spammed with a bunch of email and things like that. I have not had a single email at all, and it's been about 6 weeks, I think, since I first clicked that link originally. And I can still go back with my laptop and watch it all over again without having to do anything else. So it's a great video, well worth watching, and it gives you a good insight into the life and times of Dr. Wallach and how he got to where he is today and how the Longevity product line got formulated and became the number one nutritional supplement company in the world. They are just, as far as quality goes and results, there's nothing better anywhere. And I encourage you to check those products out. You can actually do that by clicking on the website. You can actually order products directly from the website, or if you want, you can call one of the people on my phone team, and the number for that is 855-80-YOUNG, 855-809-6864. Again, 855-809-6864, and Jeff, Sally, and Robert are standing by ready to take your calls. They're very knowledgeable in the product line and will be more than happy to help you out. Just give them a call. Again, the number is 855-809-6864. And also on that same page, if you scroll to about halfway down, you'll see a link for CTFO, which is our CBD oil product company that we're dealing with. Great company, great products, and 60-day empty bottle money-back guarantee. That's hard to beat, and I encourage you to check it out. The products are really good, and it costs nothing to be a distributor if you want to start a home-based business opportunity. Just a home-based business, because it's just really cool. You can actually make money without spending money here, and that's pretty slick. And let's see, what else? If you scroll to the bottom of the homepage, you'll see the Facebook button that takes you right to the Facebook page set up for the shows. And I've been posting things up there all along, including some this morning. And I encourage you to check that out. Hit the like button so other people can find out about it. And also follow it, so that way anytime something's posted, you'll get notice. Assuming Zuckerberg isn't censoring our posts, which would not surprise me, because most of the stuff I post is totally contrary to his beliefs and wishes, so it wouldn't surprise me that they're blocking just about everything. So anyway, we do what we can. Also, if you are interested in any of the other products on the page besides the Youngevity, and that toll-free number is for the Youngevity products only, if you're interested in the CTFO products or the Pulse Electromagnetic Therapy Unit that's mentioned on the Trinity of Health page, you'll need to contact me directly, which you can do through the Contact Me button. You have the option of phone calling or sending an email. Just keep in mind, I don't check emails during the show, but I do check them afterwards. Anything that comes in, we'll get a response within a few hours. Then lastly, on the radio shows tab at the top of the page, you'll see the link for our new archive page that's hosted at castbox.fm. Just click the link and it'll take you right there. And as I promised Robert yesterday, I did get back into the system. I don't know why I wasn't able to get in on Monday, but I did get back in and I posted Monday and yesterday's replay. So everything is current. This show today will go up, you know, probably within half an hour of it ending. We'll have it posted there so you can listen to replays anytime you want. Download the free app for your Android or iPhone, and that way you can listen to the calls or the shows anytime you want on your phone in excellent 128 kilobit sound quality. So that's pretty much it. The number, you know, keep in mind that we also have a chat room, and that you can find by scrolling to the bottom of this radio show's page. And I apologize. Yesterday, Carl tried to send me a note telling me that it was Drew Pearson, which I should have known, and I just couldn't remember, about the football player from the Dallas Cowboys. And but I did see it finally after the show was over, and we figured it out. But anyway, I try and keep the chat room on the top of my screen, and at the time, it happened to get covered up by something. So I didn't see it until after I was closing things down at the end of the show, and I apologize. But anyway, you can utilize the chat room to either chat amongst yourselves or answer questions or ask questions, that kind of thing. So it is there, and I try. You know, I'm only human. I don't always manage, but I try to keep the stuff where I can keep an eye on it. Also, keep in mind that the topics discussed and opinions mentioned on the show are those of the host and or guests and don't necessarily represent the opinions of the People's Patriot Network, its owners or sponsors, which there really aren't any, but or any of the alphabet agencies out there listening in. But, you know, it is what it is. Do your own due diligence, and that's the other thing. Nothing we say on the show should be construed as an attempt to diagnose, treat, or cure any health condition. This is for your entertainment and education purposes only. You do your own due diligence, and as a responsible adult, it's up to you to make sure that you're doing the research to know that what you're doing is right for you. And basically, that's the way it ought to be. So the number to call into the show is 614-426-8787, 614-426-8787. And again, that you can call in anytime you want, as long as you hear me talking. If you hear music playing or a replay from something online or anything else that I may be doing, then please wait until you hear me talking again, because the ringer for the number that calls in, I cannot stop it. So basically, I would have to hang up on you or something, and I don't really want to do that. So wait until you hear me talking before you call in. Great. Alrighty, that's it for the housekeeping stuff. And I'm just getting a few things here cleared up, if I can. There we go. Here. And tomorrow, again, is the 14th. Watch out for a little Cupid shooting arrows. I don't think that's going to happen, but you never know. All righty then. Didn't really have anything in particular planned to talk about today. In all honesty, I was on the phone on hold for the last hour before the show started with a customer service for a company I was doing something with. And they really need to get their act together when it comes to customer service. I called in at, it was 12:01 Eastern time, which is a minute after their call board opens. They're on the West Coast, and their customer service is from 9 to 5 Pacific time. So it was from noon to 8 Eastern. So I called in at 12:01 and was already, I think, number 17 in the lineup, and they told me it was 37 minutes to wait. And I got down to the 37-minute, and basically the numbers bounced off the bottom and started going up. By the time I, 2 minutes before the show, I was caller number three, and they must only have one person answering the phones, I'm assuming. And I was caller number three, and still had 16 minutes to wait. So I obviously hung up on him. Hey, Robert, how are we doing today?
Hey, good, good. Who was that company you were on hold with for 37 minutes?
I would rather not say at the time, but I am not happy with them. And trust me, when I do get through, I am going to give them an earful. That's just no way to run a railroad, as they say.
It was Amway?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm not saying who it was right now, but I'm not happy with them.
You probably shouldn't.
They're experiencing some growing pains, which is to be expected, but this is just totally unacceptable. And it's been going on for a while now, and they really need to get their act together and get more people in customer service. But anyway, it is what it is, so I'll have to try later on, and I'll probably have an extra long wait. But, that was the sad thing. I called in as soon as I could, which was an hour before the show, and I'm thinking, I surely ought to be able to get to somebody before then. I was just hoping they'd pick up just so I could say, here's my number, call me back in an hour. I expect a call. And I was still on hold, and I finally had to hang up because I wasn't about to. I was thinking about running music until I got through and then coming on after that, but, even that would not be a good idea. There's no telling how long it would take. So, just caught between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah, I'd have understood if it was that important a call. So, but
it was a mistake that I made that I was trying to correct. And, for someone that I placed an order for somebody yesterday, a brand new customer, and I goofed up and realized after I placed the order that there are more than one product in this little bottle. And I was looking through and I didn't have my glasses on. And I saw the little bottle that I recognized the image of, and I clicked on it and placed the order, and turns out it was the same price, but it was a different product. And I thought, crap. So I sent him an email saying, please pull the order and change it. And I wanted to confirm it with a call this morning. And, of course, we all know that how that worked out. But I was trying to fix my own mistake, but just the same, having to wait that long for something as simple as this is just, unacceptable. That's just
no problem.
Not the way that's things okay. will be done.
But since you said that, I now know the company you're talking about. So let's move on.
maybe you do, maybe you don't.
I do, based on what you just said. But let's move on.
So what's going on with you?
I don't have a company and I don't have customer service. But this is a philosophical question. And so since you're quite a bit smarter than me, I'm going to lay it on you and see what you
think.
Plus, you know a lot about Bitcoin. I would. People at my job tell me I'm smart. I don't know why. I guess I got them fooled. Anyway, so you probably didn't hear Roger Stone this morning, did you?
I heard bits and pieces of it. I was kind of in and out. I listened about the first hour, but then, an hour ago when I got online with customer service, I was not listening any longer. I heard
You didn't hear Daryl then, did you?
No, I heard it at the end when he mentioned Daryl came on. I said, oh, man, I missed Daryl. Shoot.
Yeah,
I haven't heard him in a long time.
Yeah, if you get an itch, pull up Roger's show. You'll find it interesting what he said, which leads me to our next question. So Daryl is a believer in Bitcoin. He has quite a bit. But he does not believe in BitClub Network, nor does he believe in blockchain. And he says that the reason it's so successful, blockchain, BitClub Network, is because it's being allowed to be successful. And at some point in time in the future, they, New World Order, fill in the blank, whoever you want to talk to, will use that very success to wreak havoc, cause problems, and continue what they've been doing all along, from eugenics to nonstop wars to whatever they're doing, all of which is pretty evil.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where he's coming from on blockchain. So I want to throw it out to you, James, like I said, because you're a lot smarter than me. What you're feeling
well,
is about
it. Well, again, I wouldn't say that. and I have utmost respect for Daryl. He's a sharp guy. There's no question.
Very.
I don't know how much, you know, this would have been a good call or a good question for Monday when John was on. Because
Don't worry, I'm going to call him later on today.
Yeah, basically the way I understand everything to function, I don't know how anybody could influence from the outside the BitClub network or Bitcoin in general. Because the way it's set up, you know, it's a threat to them. It's not something that they're allowing. It's something that they're sad that is happening. They would rather it be shut down, but they can't. So I have to respectfully disagree based on what I know. Now, again, I have yet to hear any substantive arguments as to how this could possibly happen.
He didn't
I've
say.
Heard a lot of people say that it's being allowed and all that kind of thing, but no one has ever given any evidence to substantiate what they're saying. Mm-hmm. And that's my biggest thing. You know, my understanding of the blockchain and the way Bitcoin functions is it's totally transparent. You can see everything that happens, but because it's all a bunch of long number accounts, you don't, unless you have a master list of the accounts, which, you know, my accounts don't have my name attached to them. So there's no way, if I do anything, there's no way anybody could look and see what I'm doing. They can see that this number is doing something, but they have no way of linking it to me. So that's the beauty of the way the system operates. Now, there are some flaws in that because some people have accounts that were set up where they actually, whoever the wallet was that they used or whatever, required a name and, you know, KYC type stuff to be put in. Like if you did something with, I can't remember. Some of the exchanges that are connected to banks, then those groups definitely were a problem because they could track your information because you actually had to provide it to them. That's why I never work with those kind of organizations. I utilize hardware wallets, and I have a blockchain wallet, and at no time with any of those things was there any identifying information given. So there's no way they could link it back to me. So you have, even though it's transparent, you still have anonymity. And I don't know how the people running things could basically have anything, you know, this is, you know, the thing is, you know, it's an obvious thing that the internet itself was created as a great big tracking system. And we willingly jumped onto it with the convenience and all the information and everything that's available. There's no question about that. But right in the middle of that thing, then we have Satoshi Nakamoto come in and create a system that functions within that realm, but it brings back total anonymity. And the only way they could ever do anything to it would be to shut down the internet 100%. And I don't see that happening. And if it did, the blockchain going down would be the least of our worries, you know? So
that's a good point.
And it would totally disrupt everything in the world because so much is based on the internet now. To shut it down would literally be stepping back into the 1800s. And I don't know that anybody wants to do that. You know, it would be just as hard on the people running things as everybody else. So I don't know. I'd like to see, you know, what information or evidence Daryl has to substantiate his claim. But I haven't seen any of that yet. And all the, you know, people like Saif Edina Moose, the guy that wrote the Bitcoin Standard.
Yeah.
That guy, you know, I've read the book, and at no point in time in that book, and this guy knows what he's talking about, did he ever mention anything like that. Not even the premise, let alone anything to substantiate it. So I don't know, you know, and that's why I keep all my stuff on a hardware wallet. So if something like that was to happen, I would still have control of the keys to my, you know, Bitcoin. You know, the Bitcoin never leaves the internet. That's what people don't realize. It's just the keys to access those things are stored on either a paper wallet, hardware wallet, cell phone wallet, whatever the case might be. But they're backed up so that if something does happen, I've still got all the access stuff in my possession. And the only way anybody could get access to my Bitcoin would be to break into my house, get past the alarm system, get past the dogs, get past me and all my guns and ammo, and then figure out how to get into my safe. And then even if they got into the safe, they would still have to know the passwords for the hardware wallet before they could do anything. So it's as secure as it could possibly be. And, you know, I don't know. We'll just have
your
to wait
dog's
and see.
Bite.
It, you know, and I've heard that argument before, and I, you know, that's always, you know, I get a kick out of listening. You know, I still listen to Alex Jones from time to time, and he is not a, I can't read him very well because he's been talking a lot lately about Bitcoin as far as being in a bubble, which is, you know, foolish. You got to have a lot more people involved before you could even have a bubble. But
yeah, like the housing crisis.
Yeah, I think his thing was more the people that were doing scams built on Bitcoin per se, and that's what he was staying away from. I can't really pin him down as to what he thinks about Bitcoin in general, but you know, not that I really care. You know, if he doesn't like it, then I just, you know, that's the first thing I've heard him be wrong about. But anyway, it's just one of those things. You know, everybody's got an opinion, and especially in, from the Patriot standpoint, because, you know, we always have a little extra bit of paranoia attached to everything we do and think about. And I'm not saying that Daryl's paranoid or anything by any chance, any stretch.
No, not at all.
But
he's a well-read guy.
Yeah,
he's like you,
basically,
an intellectual.
You know, when you get into the Patriot movement, you know, people look at that stuff and they always attach, well, this is a, you know, how could Big Brother be controlling this, you know, to get us, you know? And I've looked at it and I've been using it enough and experimenting, playing around with it, that I know how it works. I know the basic premise behind it. And I don't know how anybody could, from the outside, take control either of Bitcoin in general or the block, you know, the Bitcoin or Bitcoin Club network, because all they're doing basically is just a group of people with their own equipment. You know, basically what would have to happen somehow is they would have to come in and, you know, do a military takeover of all of our facilities. And then, you know, even if they did that, they'd have to get into the system and basically reroute every coin that's being generated. So I suppose it's possible that, you know, sometime down the line when, you know, world government is totally in control, that they might do that. But again, if that was to happen, this would be the least of our worries, you know?
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. I, you know, I don't, I'm not an expert on this stuff by any stretch of the imagination. And I suppose anything is possible in this day and age, but is it likely? I don't know. I doubt it, but it's, you know, you never know. How's that for an answer? Did I tap dance around it enough?
Yeah. Do your dogs bite?
Well, they can be awful scary noise-wise. And like I said, I'm in the process of installing. I've just installed a new alarm system, and I'm putting security cameras in that alert me to motion from my phone anywhere in the world and that kind of thing. So I can see what's going on in my house, you know, from any place I have internet access. And that kind of thing is, you know, I'm doing that just because my old system croaked several years ago, and I've been putting it off and putting it off and paying the maintenance or the monitoring fees for years and not getting anything out of it. So I figured I better, I just broke down and bought a new system and put it in. And it's a SimpliSafe, and I'm pretty impressed with it. It actually works pretty cool. One of the things
they advertise a lot on TV. I've seen them.
One of the things I really like about it is I've always been concerned about security cameras. If you have these things and, you know, if they're hooked to the internet, theoretically someone else could be watching. And I always wondered what you could do about that short of turning them off when you're at home and then turning them back on. And SimpliSafe has a really cool system where their cameras have a little shutter. It's a little stainless steel shutter that comes across the, it's built inside the lens, you know, under the glass, so that it's always, you know, it moves. And but basically you can program the thing through the app on your phone so that it is only on when you want it to be on. So I can set the thing so when I'm away from home and the alarm is set, that little shutter opens and it allows the video to be taken of the area that in front of the camera. But when I'm at home and the system's off, or if the system's in the home mode, which means the basically the door sensors are armed, but the motion sensors aren't. So if someone comes through the door, it'll trigger, but I can move around inside the house without any problem. And at that point, the shutter is closed on the cameras, so they aren't functioning. So
you can see the shutter.
It's a visible shutter. It's a little. I can sit across the room from it and tell whether the thing is open or closed. And
okay, gotcha.
It's silver in color, like stainless steel, and you can hear it. You know, it'll go click, and you can see the thing opening and closing, so you know that you're covered. If someone was to somehow gain control, I mean, you would still hear that thing open, and you could look at it and say, "Hey, wait a minute, this thing's supposed to be closed, and it's not." And I'd walk over and unplug it because it's plugged into a USB power supply.
Okay.
That's a really cool system. It's the only one I've seen like that. Now, I've ordered some other cameras that I just got that don't have that kind of feature, but I did get some little, and these are kind of cool. They're little adapters that you put into your outlet, and then you plug your device into that adapter, and that thing is controlled from a phone app. So you can turn it on, so you can control lights and whatnot in your house. But these other cameras that I put other places, I will control through the power. And I'll set them up, and then I'll turn them off. And then when I leave the house, I can push a button. They power up and turn back on. And that way I don't have to worry about somebody being able to look through those either, you know, and see what's going on when I'm home. But I'll be able to see what's going on otherwise. My wife is
all right. So to review, you've picked up the blockchain box, shaken it down, looked at it from every angle you can, and your position is, how would it be done? It couldn't be because of its anonymity. Well, actually, it's transparency, but
yeah.
the wallet numbers are anonymous. Your key number, I don't know, and I never will, and I don't want to know it, et cetera, et cetera. That's why, in your opinion, it cannot be from the outside tampered with, brought down, utilized, whatever.
Yeah, that's my basic premise. From what I know of the blockchain and how it works and Bitcoin and how it works, and this is something that Saifedean Ammous actually covers quite extensively in his book, you know, as far as trying to take over and co-opt the blockchain and reroute or steal Bitcoin, things like that. He goes into very extensively in that book as to why it would be virtually impossible. And people have been trying to hack the blockchain for as long as it's been in existence, and no one has ever succeeded. And the longer time goes on, the more difficult it becomes, because you have more and more nodes coming online, which are the individual computers. And every time a Bitcoin transaction takes place, every single computer, every single node on the system has to agree. You know, you have to have at least three before the transfer can take place. But then at that point, all the others still have to agree, or it can be reversed. And, you know, because of that, it would be next to impossible. You would have to gain control of so many nodes in order to co-opt the blockchain in general. It's just something that it would be a monumental task that I don't know how anyone could do it. So for a lot of reasons, you know, it's not something that would be, you know, it would cost them more than it would be worth, basically, is what he basically came up with. Even if you could do it, the expense to do it would be far more than you can possibly hope to gain from it. So I don't know if Daryl's read the book. I'd recommend that'd be a good one for him to take a look at.
I got to get that book. I've got those chapters John sends out, but I don't have the entire book. I got to buy it based on what you just said.
Yeah, it's. I bought the ebook and I put it on my iPad and took it with me and read it while I was in Hawaii on vacation last fall. And I haven't read the whole thing. I just, I read basically the chapters that John recommends, 1, 7,
7,
nine, and
9,
ten,
and
or something
10.
like that.
Yeah.
And and glanced around at some of the other ones, but the other areas are basically not really applicable to what we're looking at. So those chapters are the key ones. You know, he did a good job of pointing that out, saved me some time because I was reading other books at the same time. Another one I recommend is Judge Jeanine Pirro's Liars, Leakers, and Liberals. That's a good book. And she points out some really interesting stuff. I don't know. I would like to think that we finally have something here that it was brought about and made possible by the world orders trying to track everybody. And that's the most ironic thing is through this system of tracking that they came up with, we came up with a total anonymity in finances that they can't deal with. And I haven't yet seen anything from anyone who can, other than just standing there saying that this is what's happening or going to happen, have any shred of evidence to prove what they're saying. And that's the key. If someone would come up with something to substantiate what they're saying, that'd be a different story. But so far, I haven't heard that.
Huh. Okay. All right. All right. Well, let's see. I burned up half your show, so I think I got an answer.
That's okay. It's probably more interesting. Like I said, I didn't really have anything planned today. I was hoping someone would call in, and I appreciate you doing that. Who knows? Maybe you'll come up with a health question that you got.
really.
There. I was going to look at some of the things in the news. I saw one this morning that Sherry Tenpenny put out in her newsletter. I forget who it is. I'm going to see if I can find it on Facebook here. But something about measles curing cancer. And I figured, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Here's one more reason to get the measles rather than get vaccinated.
But, yeah. And the latest is they're playing that, well, so-and-so, so many people have measles in so many states, and they're caused by unvaccinated people, which is beyond laughable.
Yeah.
That's just flat-out lie, I think. That's not laughable. That's just a lie. That's
yeah,
just a
and
lie.
New Jersey is one step closer to eliminating the religious objection to vaccines. And
well, New Jersey is a weird-ass state anyway, so that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. That's just – it's New Jersey. Aren't very many states on the eastern seaboard that I would really want to consider living in.
That being one of them.
Started out good, but it's got a lot of liberal morons in it too now.
I think New Hampshire's pretty good too.
Yeah.
On that level.
Yeah, they started that first state project years ago, trying to make New Hampshire one of the better ones. And when I was on the board of the NRA, we had a couple of guys from New Hampshire that were really, really sharp dudes. And I've been to New Hampshire, beautiful state. The Mount Washington area is absolutely gorgeous. And
it's damn cold up there, though. I mean, damn cold.
Windy.
I mean, like 30, 40 below.
It's funny. It was 50 degrees here yesterday. When I came in from Feedmore, I was actually out in the barn feeding the horses in a t-shirt, 50 degrees. And about an hour and a half later, it was 32. And the wind was blowing, probably gusting at like 40 miles an hour. And, that's what happens. We get these fronts that come in and the wind comes in and blows like crazy. And either warm air comes with it if it's already cold, or cold air comes with it if it's already warm. And it is just this morning, yesterday, my backyard was a muddy sponge. It was just, it had been raining so much. It was really nasty and squishy. One of my dogs goes out there and it's like he doesn't like walking in that stuff, and he's sort of tiptoeing through it. And then today it's hard as a rock. It's all frozen. And I'll tell you, this has been the strangest winter that I can remember in 61 years of being here. I've had some, when I lived in Northern Ohio up on Lake Erie, I mean, I can remember trick-or-treating in snow and having it stay there, snow on the ground until, Easter. We had years where we could sled off the roof of our house. You could literally walk up the drift right up to the roof. Not that my dad would let us, but, it was just unbelievable. And 20 below zero for 2 weeks. You know, that was not uncommon. And now, because of the government playing around with the weather, I honestly think is what's going on. We got all these weird fluctuations that we're seeing now. And it's interesting, I'll say that. You know, Sunday morning it was beautiful, and then all of a sudden it started snowing about 2 in the afternoon, and by that evening we had about 3.5 inches on the ground. Yeah, it was nuts. It was right as my wife was leaving and heading down to the Smoky Mountains, and she was Route 71, you know, state near the I-71 going down through Ohio into Kentucky. Mm-hmm. It was just people are sliding off the road and all kinds of stuff.
No doubt. I'll leave you with this headlines taken from Yahoo News, and I'll hang up. Man charged with murder of wife was quoted saying, and I now quote, "Well, I guess now I don't have to worry about a divorce. Have a good day."
That's kind of what I told my wife when we got married. I've already been through one divorce. I'm not doing that again.
I hear you. Take care.
All right, man. Have a good one, Robert. Of course, I'm kidding about that, folks. Here is New Jersey judge edges closer to removing religious exemption for vaccines. And I'm just waiting for the article to pop up. Here we go. And this is from, what's it from? I actually got it from Vaxxer.com, which is Sherry Tenpenny's thing. I think this may be from her website. I'm not seeing the link. No, it's Prep for That. PrepForThat.com. Interesting. So anyway, the New Jersey Assembly passed a measure that removes religious exemptions as a reason for parents not to vaccinate their children. The bill still needs to pass the state Senate, but momentum is clearly on the side of more restrictive vaccine laws. Imagine that. The bill is an amendment to the current mandatory vaccine law, which is another draconian thing. As it stands, children attending public and private schools in New Jersey are mandated a number of states decided vaccines. However, the current law allows parents to opt out of the mandatory nature of the law for medical reasons or violation of religious tenets, which as it should be. A newly amended bill removes the religious option from the law. Parents across the state are seemingly divided on the issue, and that's a big part of the problem. People have no clue what rights are anymore and where rights come from, and that's a big problem because I blame it on the public school system. The last several generations have been so dumbed down that we no longer understand what our rights are, where our rights come from, and just who it is that can grant and take them away. And herein lies the problem. Anyway, with many parents noting that this is a clear violation of parental rights, not to mention their rights of religious freedom, but that isn't stopping politicians, particularly those of the Democratic side of the aisle, of course, from lending their support to the more restrictive amendment. And the thing is anyone who votes for this legislation or even talks about supporting it is in violation of their oath of office and should be removed from office immediately. I think many, including those who availed themselves of it, have been uncomfortable with the government intruding into the religious exemption space, says Health Committee Chairman Herb Conaway Jr., Democrat of Burlington, who is a sponsor of the bill and the amendment. I was convinced when you took everything together, the uncomfortable nature of asking someone about their religious tenets and the difficulty government has in deciding whether those religious tenets are bona fide. Government has no right to decide whether they're bona fide. Government is the servant of the people, you idiots. Let that sink in. And that's the whole thing, where government is sitting there thinking, well, should we allow these people to do this? When, in fact, people should be saying, should we allow our government to do this? It's biblical. Right is wrong, wrong is right, black is white is black, good is evil is good, just as it is in the end times. The uncomfortable nature of asking someone about their religious tenets and the difficulty government has in deciding whether those religious tenets are bona fide, that it would be simpler to remove the religious exemption. Oh, So just so we don't have to decide whether what we think is good for you or not, we're just going to take that thing away from you all to start with. And that's, oh my gosh. Banging your head against the wall feels so good when you stop. In furtherance of the goal of near universal mandatory vaccination. Good grief. It's no secret, I believe public health is... Wait a minute, I missed a line here. Conway went on to label the potential change a public health concern. You think? It's no secret, I believe public health is critically important to protecting the lives of children and the public at large. And again, they have lost sight of what the purpose of government is. Look at the first paragraph of the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. To secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. Okay? The sole purpose for government is to protect the rights of the individual to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Nothing about mandatory vaccines or anything else. The purpose for government is to make sure that the individual's rights are held first and foremost paramount. The individual rights are numero uno, not the collective. That's communism. And that's what people have to get back to and have to realize and have to start standing up on their hind legs and saying, not no, but hell no. We're not going to do this. Anyway, where was I? It's no secret, I believe, public health is critically important to protecting the lives of children and the public at large. But I also believe strongly in the First Amendment. Okay, I wonder what he knows about the First Amendment. And I think the government should tread very lightly, if at all, regarding religion and religious tenets. That's the first intelligent thing the guy has said. But it's not tread lightly, it's at all. Congress shall make no law. And the Constitution is the supreme law of the land. Every state that's admitted to the Union has to agree that they will abide by the tenets of the Constitution. So no state can make any law that abridges the freedom of speech, religion, the right to assemble, the right to petition. No, I'm drawing a blank. There's five different rights in the First Amendment. Anyway, assembly, petition, speech, religion, and the press. That's it. So basically, those things are all protected by the First Amendment, and governments can make no law abridging any of those things. So just how is it they can pass a bill saying that you have no right to exercise your religious beliefs, that prohibit you from putting toxic substances and aborted baby parts and things like that into your body? How is it that they can do that, your right of conscience, and still comply, A, with their oath of office, and B, with the state's rights or requirements and authority, or not authority, but responsibility to follow the Constitution? They can't. And there needs to be massive lawsuits across the board if this ever gets passed. Anyway, I think this bill and the amendment puts us on the right path with respect to the demands of public health. This guy's a freaking idiot. And our long tradition of non-interference with religion. How on earth? I mean, this guy is taking a page out of the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez public speaking. The guy is double speaking and left and right. He's talking out of both sides of his mouth. One minute he says we need to support the First Amendment and the Constitution and religious tenets, and we do that by totally abrogating them. This is asinine. And this guy's an idiot. Path to squash New Jersey vaccine religious exemptions. Here's what must happen in order for the New Jersey parents to lose religious rights in concern with vaccine laws. Sorry about that. Got some goobers in my throat today. Get a little BTT here. Good stuff. Anyway, the bill will need to pass the full assembly, and S-2173 would need to be amended and passed. The original S-2173 sponsors, Loretta Weinberg, Democrat of Bergen, and Joe Vitale, Democrat of Middlesex, have not committed to sponsoring the new amendment to their bill, but that doesn't mean they won't. CDC's 2017-2018 statistics show that 2.2% of kindergartners received a religious vaccine nationally. I think they mean exemption. It just says they received a religious vaccine. There's no such thing as a religious vaccine. 2.2% nationally. That's pretty low. This is up from the previous year's national average of 2.0. Well, that's good. They're showing signs of improvement. New Jersey's exemption rate rose to 2.2% from in the 2017-2018 from the 1.9% in the previous year. That's good. You know, so they're seeing a rise where people are starting to stand up and exercise their rights. So we can't have that. We've got to stop this altogether. These aren't overwhelming stats, but they do provide evidence of a trend. People are starting to wise up. So government has to step in and squash that. That said, the media's current assault on the measles narrative is helping to usher in more restrictive law discussions among local politicians. Nationally, the push to eradicate a number of rights, including gun ownership and free speech, are gaining steam. They can't eliminate those rights. All they can do, if anything, they can eliminate the amendments that protect them, but the rights remain because we get those from God. And people need to realize that. New Jersey is a particularly bad environment for basic rights. And that's the last line of the thing. And that's the one smart thing they said, basically. Definitely bad news. So that's just more of a continuing trend. Some scary stuff, folks. Very scary. And let's see, there was another one. Let me see if I can find it here. Oh, here we go. Teen mom star says she hasn't vaccinated son, and now she's taking heat. You know, first off, why are they, you know, I've never seen this show, but I'm assuming this is an unwed teenager who has kids. And in the picture, she has not just one, but three. So they're glamorizing motherhood out of wedlock. And she's not smart enough to realize the proper order of things, but she at least realizes that vaccines aren't smart. Teen Mom star, Mom 2 star Caitlin Lowry is causing controversy after making statements that she hasn't vaccinated her youngest son, Lux. Lowry made the comments on an episode of Coffee Convos, whatever that is. The teen star was immediately lambasted by parent shamers. Lowry's comments came following a listener question regarding a vaccine controversy. Wondering if you and Kale, whoever Kale is, can talk about the well-known controversy of vaccines. I'm a mother of three, and I've always said that I would never be that mom. What mom? But recently I've read so many horrifying stories about vaccines, like the MMR, measles, mumps, rubella, some absolutely devastating stories. I vaccinated my two older girls and never thought twice about it. But now I'm paranoid to vaccinate my five-month-old baby boy. I would love to know both of your opinions. So in other words, here's a woman who's asking the opinion of an unwed mother of three for wisdom. Talk about an oxymoron. Anyway, Lowry then responded, noting that she used to follow the doctor's order blindly. I definitely think this is a controversial topic, and I don't want to lose listeners because of my opinion. But I did vaccinate Isaac because, to me, I didn't know any better, and I let them vaccinate him with whatever they basically said that he needed. And I feel like I was ignorant, and I didn't do research and didn't know any better. With Lincoln, apparently number two, I knew a little bit more, and I started to research more. And that's when I think the conversations of vaccines started to really be going on with me and my friends that became moms. And there were documentaries on Netflix and all kinds of just news that I would try to look into. Lincoln did not get all of his vaccines. I definitely picked and chose which ones I felt like were necessary. And he did not get all of them at once. Wow. And that's the end of the article. That's weird. It's kind of strange. They didn't even say about the last one, like, you know, I finally did the research and realized that they're bad, and now I didn't give the little one any. But, and it's pretty obvious that these children appear to be from different fathers, at least a third one. The first two might be from the same guy, but the third one is definitely a whole lot different. So anyway, it's curious. But, you know, at least she made some intelligent moves in her life. Anyway, let's see what else we got here. And I did it again. But nothing in the chat room. Let's see here. Where am I? Goodness gracious. Mayo Clinic research shows measles may cure cancer. That's interesting. That's on the Facebook page, so you can check that out. California not only has needles, trash, and feces across its cities, the same filth is now appearing across Southern Cal beaches. This picture here is pretty grody looking. Man, there's all kinds of stuff there. Some nasty. Extremely graphic video shows proof that late-term abortion is outright child murder. And here we go. This is a nice little meme. Trump cures cancer. And this is obviously it's a satire. But at the top you have Trump in a doctor's outfit with a white coat and a stethoscope around his neck. And the thing says, Trump cures cancer. And below you have the groups, curing cancer is racist. We have the right to die from our cancer. We want our cancer back. Just showing the idiot protesters that whatever he does, no matter how good it is, they will protest against it. That's a funny one. Vaccine, here's one. The meme or the picture is vaccinate your damn kids. CDC vaccine schedule is 50 doses by age 6. Average dose for a childhood cancer diagnosis in the U.S. is age 6. Imagine that. And I put a little thing, if you have damn kids, by all means, vaccinate them. But if you have children who are a gift from God, then you should do your own research first and look to the Bible and see what it says about how to stay healthy. Genesis 1:29 is a good start. Oh, goodness gracious. But, yeah, the 50 vaccine doses by age 6 and the average age for a childhood cancer diagnosis in the U.S., guess what? Age 6. Think there's any correlation? Considering most vaccines have cancer viruses in them, SV40 and the others? Nuts. Here's a cutie. Ted Nugent being interviewed by a liberal reporter who is also an animal rights activist. When the interview turned to deer hunting, the reporter asked, what do you think is the last thing that goes through the head of a deer just before you shoot him? Is it, are you my friend? Or is it, are you the one who killed my brother? Nugent replied, deer aren't capable of that kind of thinking. All they care about is what am I going to eat next? Who am I going to screw next? And can I run fast enough to get away? They are very much like Democrats in Congress. The interview ended. Oh, gotta love that one too. And I'm proud to see, you know, Ted and I were on the board of directors for the NRA at the same time. He got on the last year of my second term. So I was there 5 years before he got on. But we had a chance to chat a little bit, and pretty cool dude. I like his strong, no-holds-barred attitude. I just wish he would realize that the NRA is selling us our rights down the river and that Gun Owners of America is a far better organization to support. Dr. Susanna Humphreys, another interesting thing from her. This is a statement she put out. Vaccines did not have... I'm going to check the time here. Yep. Vaccines did not have or save humanity and never will. Smallpox was not eradicated by vaccines, as many doctors readily say it was. They say this is out of conditioning rather than out of understanding of history of science. Poliovirus was not responsible for the paralysis in the first part of the 20th century. Polio vaccine research, development, testing, and distribution has committed atrocities. Ah, looks like Patrick is calling in. Patrick, that you? Hello? Patrick.
Hey, hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you good. Now, what's up?
Gotcha. I'll just listen to the show I saw where you got you Simply Safe. I've had those for a while. They work real good.
Glad to hear it. You're the first person I've talked to that's actually had one. I've been pretty happy with it so far.
Yeah, it's got pretty good audio and stuff in it. They've sent me a few bad cameras I had to send back, but they stood behind it. And it's pretty simple to use. And I got three of the systems. We used the shop and another place.
Okay.
Fixed put one in the cabin. But, yeah, you can watch what's going on, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Spoke to them at Longevity. They called me today, and I went ahead and took the call. And I told her what was up. And she said, well, they're showing that your status is non-taxable. So
that's good.
That's good. Everything flew in the same cloak. I checked the number, and it was the right number. So awesome. Today's a Sabbath. I'm not doing any ordering today, but I'm going to order some stuff in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
There's Eastern time, so that's Central time. They'd be, 9 o'clock for me?
I'm missing. What's your question?
I'm on Central time, and they're Western or whatever. So they're 3 hours ahead of me, so if I would call at 9 o'clock instead of...
They're actually 2 hours behind you. They're on West Coast time. You know, it's almost 2 o'clock here. It's almost 1 o'clock where you're at, and it's almost 11, I think, where they are, if I remember right. Yeah, yeah. It's
almost so I'd call around 11 o'clock then.
Yeah. So basically,
I got you.
Yeah,
I got you.
Call them, and they're open. I'm trying to remember. They're open until like 5 or 6 o'clock Eastern time. So it'd be 6 or 7 your time, I think, if I remember right.
Yep, it'd be 7.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mentioned to them I couldn't get through. You know, they need to hire some more people.
Yeah, I've had that. I've got one person I normally deal with who's not on the normal customer service, you know, queue rotation. So I can usually get through, but even lately getting into her has been kind of a rough deal. So I do a lot of my stuff by email anymore, and she responds to that pretty quickly. But yeah, I've had some issues with different companies with customer service in the last while, and it's annoying. But it's what it is.
Yeah, I'm gonna set them up on auto ship, so I don't have to worry with it.
There you go. That makes life easy. And it's nice you can go in every month and change it for whatever you want too. But
I'm gonna have to learn how to do that on the internet. I got a guy I'm gonna meet with tomorrow, the next day, and they're going to put a product on me with. You get discounts on everything, 650 different companies, and I'm going to put Longevity. He just went through a little bout of some kind of operation or cancer. He's 66. I'm going to flip him over to you and tell him you're the guy to talk to. I can answer some questions, but not near the rim you'll be able to. We'll see if we can compel him, because he understands that, you know, if you take the wood away from the builder, he can't build the house.
Yep. That's right. That's right.
And he's realizing that, so we'll see how much it's, you know, it sticks in his mind about wanting to live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because I'm convinced you can really correct all this stuff.
You know, I've met a lot of people who were told to go home and get their affairs in order by the MDs, and they get on board with our stuff, and years and years later, they're still alive. No cancer, no nothing. So that's a good thing. But it just takes, you know, making the decision and doing it. You got to be committed. And I would think you want to live, that wouldn't be a hard commitment to make. But some people,
don't understand it, man. They just don't get it. You know, you can like deer in headlights. I mean, I got Leroy. I'm going to see him at Passover up at the Cumberland Lake, and he's got Lou Gehrig's disease and taking all kind of stuff and using peroxide, water, you know, hydrogen, just all this stuff. And I'm like, Leroy, well, I can't afford it. I can't afford it. Leroy, listen to me. You can't afford it. And I'm trying to explain to him he needs to get on the program.
Yep. Well, you did it again. Called in late. We're out of time,
all right,
man.
All right.
Call in again tomorrow. See you tomorrow. We'll talk to you soon, man. Have a good one. Everybody else, take care of your body because it's the only place you have to live. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless you.